I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
To keep from high, and I'm bound to keep on flying. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the Midnight Rider.
Chris McMichael.
Yeah.
Microphone.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. 7:02 p.m. on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. Filling in for Keith, taking you on a midnight ride to midnight. Something along those lines. 888-808-1019. Met fans, that's the number. And we're going to get to you. We're going to get to you early. I want to talk to you as you're heading to the building, as you're getting ready for this Game 3 of the NLCS against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Severino on the mound with an opportunity to do something special. I want to start there specifically about this game and about the opportunity they have to do, or what the opportunity they have here against the Dodgers in this pivotal Game 3. If you go back like I do as a 96er Yankee fan, as the great Bob Uecker used to call me a lot, Joe Torre always talked about Game 3. These are pivotal games of a tied series. The winner of this game has an excellent chance to win this series. And so much talk around the Mets. Right, and I just heard, you know, Tommy, positive Tommy, so much talk around this Met team and really around this station and the games here are what they've done, the heroics, everything that's happened, you know, slaying the demon that is the Atlanta Braves in that doubleheader and the Lindor home run and the Alonso having his moment where everybody had written him off and what he did in Milwaukee. And then even now, right, so much of the talk, we can't help ourselves. We're talking about the Subway Series. We're talking about the likelihood of that. We got the Yankees have a cakewalk, and the Mets are struggling. The Mets have an opportunity right now, in this game specifically, as it's about to get kicked underway in about an hour, with Severino on the mound, that I think the beginning of this game, the first couple of innings, especially against the top of this Dodger lineup, is going to be so important for him. And then, like, to me, it's the bookends of this game. What is the back end of this bullpen going to look like? What is Diaz going to give you? Who do they go to in the big moments? You know, Buto hasn't been the same since he became a weapon out of the bullpen earlier in the season. Maton has struggled a little bit. You got Peterson out there who's been better out of the bullpen, although didn't pitch well necessarily in game one of this series. I'm interested in how they start against the top of this lineup and how they can close this game out if they get the lead late, but specifically about what they have an opportunity to do against this Los Angeles Dodgers team. Because we've already set our minds on what could be a Subway Series and how where this season ends and what the feelings would be like and all the talk around this team. Right now, the Los Angeles Dodgers are the freaking super team, right? And we talk so much about the Mets expectation at the start of the year and how there wasn't any. And going back to last year's trade deadline, this owner and the franchise did almost everything they could to temper your expectations. Right? It was about, oh, we're not, you know, the pitchers who are leaving, Scherzer, Verlander, talking about, well, we don't, you know, we've had conversations with the organization, and we're not sure about what they're going to be like over the next couple of years. Like, we've, everything, we don't expect us to have as many superstars or as many people picking us to win the World Series, blah, blah. Like, we've talked so much about who the Mets are and where their expectations were set at the start of the year, and then 11 games under 500 in the Jorge Lopez game, which was against this Los Angeles Dodgers team, and the meeting that they had on that 10-game homestand that sprung-board this team into this epic run over the last second half of the season and through this postseason. But right now, you have a chance to slay the Los Angeles Dodgers and flip a script on this season that at the beginning of the offseason, the Dodgers were the big winners. signing Ohtani to a $700 million contract, beating out the Mets and the New York Yankees for Yamamoto. This was the team that everybody was disgusted with. This was the team that took a year off in spending big money last year to bone up and get ready for this offseason, and they went freaking nuts. And they were supposed to dominate this, and they have Hall of Famers at the top of the order in now Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. Not just great players, not just MVPs. Some of the greatest players of this generation. You know how I feel about Ohtani? The greatest player I've ever seen play the game. All at the top of this lineup. All the money they spent. They went out and gave Yamamoto the most money a starting pitcher has ever seen in this sport before he threw a pitch. They were the big, big bad Dodgers who not only are run the right way, who build this farm system year after year, but go out there and have the capability of spending all this money. And the Mets have an opportunity tonight to flip the script on what this season was supposed to be and have an opportunity tonight to go out there against the big bad Dodgers who they took game one with and slapped them in the face. And I understand that they're hurt, and I understand that their pitching rotation isn't what it normally would be, and you're dealing with bullpen games. I don't care. Just like I don't care about the Cleveland Guardians as a Yankee fan, I don't care. This is an opportunity to go through this undoubtedly top-heavy, excellent National League. And to run through it in a game tonight with the building rocking for a game three of the NLCS, first time since 2015 they've been back, right? You've had players on this Met team in Nimmo calling out the fan base for showing up. Early part of the year, we're talking about why isn't nobody there for Doc? Why is nobody there for Darryl? Well, we could forget that now. This building is going to be absolutely electric tonight. And I love the idea that this upstart Met team, yes, the highest payroll in baseball, and I've had fun tweaking some Met fans about that, but ultimately we know why, and we know who they are, and we knew what the expectations were. This team that has come together like almost no group we've seen in a long time here, that has changed the narrative of the season, is going up against this big, bad Dodgers team, and they're just as good, if not better. And they have an opportunity tonight to do what every fan in baseball wanted at the start of the year. Yankee fans, you can say what you want about the Mets. Any other team can say what they want about the Mets. The fact of the matter is the Mets are standing in a position right now to beat a team that everybody wanted to beat, that nobody thought would lose at the start of this year, who everybody had penciled in going back to the World Series after all the money they spent. And here are the Mets, the OMG Mets, the Grimace Mets, whatever the story you want to bring about here, with a bunch of starting pitchers who are signed on one-year contracts, who are signed to be traded at the deadline to further building up the farm system, and instead they're standing on the mound tonight with history. The Hakuna story. But Severino is standing here tonight, a man who's been in this position, a man who's pitched in these games in this city. And we've seen him be great. We've seen him be solid, and we've seen him struggle in the early parts of this game against Milwaukee. What kind of Severino you're going to get in the first inning is going to tell a lot about this game. But I don't want to focus on what would happen if the New York Yankees and the New York Mets met in the Subway Series. We can talk about it. It's fun. I understand. I don't want to talk about necessarily even going back to the histrionics and all the craziness and the great run the Mets are on today, tonight. The Mets not only have an opportunity to give their fan base a chance to take a lead inside a series. Not only do they have a chance, and again, game three, it's like 70% you win this game, you win the series. This is a huge, huge swing game of this series. They have an opportunity to further their story right now tonight, beating the big, bad Dodgers with Ohtani, who I know we're all upset. They tell you an hour and a half advance when he's coming up to the plate. They do the math game. Oh, it's four. Well, if one guy gets on, you could see him in the fourth. He's the superstar of this sport. He's the guy they promote. This is the team everybody wanted. I heard Tommy talking about it. There's no doubt. There is no doubt the Dodgers are the team everybody wants in this championships, in this World Series. There is no doubt. MLB executives are all over themselves right now thinking of a Yankee-Dodger World Series. Ohtani versus Judge. That's what everybody wants. And this upstart Met team with a leader and an MVP like Lindor and guys who've, you know, outdone themselves, like Vientos, who wasn't even on this team to start the year. I remember filling in for Sal with BT the day they signed J.D. Martinez. And Sal came on, he was all pumped up about signing J.D. Martinez, who many people, and think about where we are now. Evan's screaming that J.D. Martinez shouldn't be in the lineup, and when they signed him, Sal was screaming, thank God, Vientos back to the minors. And Vientos has established himself as an absolute stud. what you've gotten from Marte in this postseason, what you've gotten from Iglesias throughout this year, Taylor in this lineup, who continues to impress, Alonso, just everybody stepping up, and this team has an opportunity to slay the dragon tonight. And I know it's not maybe their personal dragon, and I know you might not have been around since 1988, and the Dodgers haven't been a personal thing to you the way maybe even Philadelphia has. Certainly the Braves have been, and we know what awaits them next if they move on. But this is a series that if you would have started the year, everybody had the Dodgers going back to the World Series. And tonight, in a swing game, the Mets in their building have an opportunity to just have one of those remarkable games and one of these remarkable series. Because whatever happens next, you beat the Dodgers in the NLCS, this Met team that was two outs away with Pete Alonso at the plate in Milwaukee, this Met team that's 11 games under 500, has an opportunity to beat the big bad 98 win, should have been more than that, Los Angeles Dodgers, and head back to the World Series. Tonight's one of those nights that you live for. Tonight's one of those nights as you're in your car, getting ready, parking the car now, heading to the stadium. One of those nights that will live forever. And it's going to be how they start and how they finish are the two impacts of this game for me tonight. We'll get more into that a little bit once the game starts. We'll do some other stuff. Obviously, there's football to get to. There's Yankee talk to get to. But right now, we get right to your phone calls on the Mets. Frank in White Plains. What's up, Frank?
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
I'm going to the game tomorrow night. I couldn't get a ticket for tonight
right.
Anyway. My friend have a ticket. Anyhow, I agree with you what you're saying 100%. What happened is with the Mets pitching, they got to stop walking at batters. That's the problem. You see, every time they got like two guys walking, the next thing is...
Listen, it's never good to walk batters. Obviously, you don't want to give this team base runners. And to me, the start of this game, without question, we are going to find out early because Severino is one of those guys a lot of times. Now, he's had games in this postseason where he struggled early on and then settled in, right? That game, game one against Milwaukee, getting off to a little bit of a shaky start, settling in and pitching the fifth and sixth innings was a major turning point of that game, and you could argue because of the nature of that short series in the wild card, that's a turning point of this whole postseason. It was so important that Mendoza stuck with him, and he found himself and got through those fifth and sixth innings. So no doubt that sometimes he can settle in, but he's also one of these guys where early on you can establish what kind of night you're going to have. And when you go up against Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez to start this game, and Ohtani has not been good with no runners on. It's one of those freaky, you know, baseball stats. He's killing him with runners in scoring position. He's been brutal. Has yet to get a hit in this postseason with nobody on. So leading off the game, obviously, that would include leading off the game. But this first inning against Severino, coming out tonight, all the emotion of this stadium, there is nothing like you do not want to have a buzzkill in the first inning of this game. That's the one thing you want to avoid. Like, I believe they're just as good. I think this lineup's just as deep. Walker Buehler has not been good in the postseason, has not had the kind of year he's wanted to have. I mean, but he's also a very good pitcher. He's also a guy at the start of the year that many Met fans were telling you was going to be part of this free agent spending frenzy that the Mets were about to embark on after this season when it was time to win again. And here we are, you know, well past those expectations, playing in the NLCS, facing a Walker Buehler, and an opportunity to pound him like he was pounded in his last start. He hasn't been that good. You know, there's questions in the lineup. I know the J.D. Martinez question with Winker and how good he's been. And the manager goes back to J.D. Martinez. And the manager's gotten a lot of praise, and rightfully so. We'll see if that decision ends up being the right one. But for me, the first inning, all the emotion that this fan base is going to bring to this game, watching this team every step of the way, you know, winning the games against Philadelphia in this building, getting ready for an NLCS. And again, I think the Dodgers are the evil empire, right? That's what the Yankees have been reserved to be. And in many ways, the Yankees are still that. But this Dodger team and what they did in the offseason and who they are, like, and the matchup they present. And I understand that they've been a little bit maligned here over the last couple weeks, where to the point where most Met fans rather have played the Dodgers than the Padres. But this team and the top of this order and what they've been able to do and how they've pitched. I know the Mets got to him the other game in game two. And with the leadoff home run and then the grand slam, obviously. But they were just going through a series of 30 consecutive innings without giving up a run. Like, this is still a legitimately excellent team. And as crazy as this fan base is going to be, as loud as this building is going to be for this game right now, Severino has got, much like Carlos Rodon at the New York Yankees, he's going to have to control his emotions here. Because this is a spot, especially extra rest, this is a spot where Severino could easily go out there and try and pump 100 past Ohtani in the first at bat. And you've got to be able to control yourself a little bit because it's important for him to go deep into this game. Because like I said, the back end of this bullpen right now, although you feel good about it, I don't know if you're necessarily overly concerned or really afraid of going to Diaz or whomever. Maton, Budo, all these guys are ready to go. The day off, everyone's ready to go. They've been a little shaky. Certainly Diaz has made you sweat almost every time he's out there. But it's the start of this game, and then you're going to need him to get through innings. Like, you don't even want to have a 25-30 pitch inning. The first inning of this game is going to tell a lot of how this game is going to go. It's going to make decisions for the manager, and it's going to tell us what kind of night you're going to get from Severino and the top of this order that is so imperative to what they do. Like, if you look at this Dodgers team right now, the bullpen's been, you know, pretty good. The back end of it's been better than the opener type situation and the bullpen games that they've had, and the Mets took advantage of that in game two. But the bullpen's been pretty good. The starting rotation's completely eradicated. I mean, they've been decimated by injury. But it's the top of this lineup. It's not even the entire lineup. It's the first four or five hitters of this lineup that scare you, that put the fear of God in you, that have not only just solid all-star type players, not only have MVP type players, but have literally generational type players. These are the guys we will all be watching them give Hall of Fame speeches. That's who they're facing in the top of this order. And Severino, who's had his history, we talked about his first start as a Yankee ace in 2017 and not getting out of the first inning, or forgetting what time it was and what time the game started in 2018. The last time he pitched in an ALCS or an LCS game was against the Houston Astros in 2022, and he was okay. He was serviceable. He gave you five innings, three runs. That's the kind of start that you can live with in this game, and you've got to expect the offense to come through. I don't want those three innings in the first. I don't want to take the crowd out of this. This is going to be a huge element. I saw them handing out blue towels tonight. Typically, they're orange, I thought, but they're handing out blue towels tonight. This stadium is going to be in an absolute buzz, and the one thing that scares me, the one thing I don't want to have happen, the one thing that would settle this Dodgers team in, give them confidence in this game, and wipe the taste out of their mouth of game two, which was so important that the Mets did in game one. Right, the Mets, in game two, had to wipe that taste out of their mouth. And they did it immediately. I don't want to have the Dodgers return serve and do the same thing after getting their ass kicked in game two to come out here and have Ohtani, Mookie Betts, and Freeman drive them in with a double in the gap, and suddenly this crowd is no longer the amped up, big time, ferocious kind of extra man on the field that you expect it to be. Tonight's a big game. Tonight has an opportunity for the New York Mets to do something special, take control of a series that at the start of the year you couldn't even imagine them being in, let alone winning. Taking on the big bad Dodgers that every fan in baseball wants to see go down in a pile of flames. And the Mets have an opportunity to do it tonight. And Severino gets it started in about 50 minutes. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your Mets phone calls. We'll transition to the Yankees and some of the talk around the New York Yankees that I'm freaking sick of already. And this, you know, cakewalk, as everybody likes to put it, into the World Series. I got a real problem with the narrative around this Yankee team. We'll get to the Giants and the devastating injury of losing Andrew Thomas for the entire year, what it means for the quarterback, and what it means for the outlook of this season, and how the Giants handle it. We'll get to the Devontae Adams trade. Plenty to get to. Saquon Barkley coming back to Giants Stadium. A lot to get to. We've got 5 hours to do it on our ride to midnight. Right here on The Fan. McMonagle with you for the next 4.5 hours, taking your phone calls. We'll be here all evening long. We'll ride along with the Mets. Plenty to do, plenty of time to do it as well. I got you here on The Fan till midnight, right here. We'll be right back.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 727. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you till midnight on our ride to midnight. Obviously open with the Mets as they get ready for Game 3 tonight in a pivotal swing game. And we'll see what Severino does. We'll see how this team responds yet again in this building. It's going to be a wild scene. And look, we'll ride along with the game. The game starts in about 40 minutes. We'll ride along with it. We'll do a lot of Giants, a lot of football, a lot of Jets. But I will interrupt with some fun baseball stuff. I mean, I can't not do it. I struggle not to do it. I'm so pumped up about this baseball season. The Yankees up 2-0. And I guess I can get into that real quick here because I'm just freaking annoyed. Like, I came on last night. I was on my typical overnight show. I came on at 2 a.m. last night. And I fully admitted. Like, we all understand what happened. They drop a pop-up that leads to a run in the first inning for the Yankees. You get bad base running that kind of runs them out of a multi-run inning. They end up getting one, but they have a chance to have a big breakout inning. And they run themselves out of outs, and it leads to one of the great John Sterling calls ever, saying they run the bases like drunks. If anything, I'm glad he came back just for that moment. Oh, you gotta love John. They run the base. That's what they do. Run the bases like drunks. I was crying when I heard that clip. And hopefully that stops. But let's not forget, like, what's actually happening here. The New York Yankees, yes, they're the best team in the American League. And you know what? They've been the best team in the American League. They were the best team in the American League all year long. And right now, all that's happening is they're proving it. They're proving it. They're proving that they're so much better than the rest of the teams in the American League. And make no mistake, we could say all we want about the record of these two teams. They won their series. This is the postseason. You make it sound like the Astros didn't have an opportunity. The Astros couldn't win a game in their building against the Detroit Tigers. The Baltimore Orioles, the big bad Orioles, had an opportunity. It's not like they forgot those two and just shuffled the American League Central into the postseason. They had their shot. If the Yankees lost those games in the wild card series, nobody would be saying, oh, well, you know, it's okay. What are you going to do? Like, we'd all be killing the Yankees. It wouldn't make the Yankees any. We'd be saying how bad they are, how poor run they are, how terrible Brian Cashman is at putting together a team who couldn't get through a lousy two-game wild card series. They're here because they won. They're here because they won. And let's not forget, the Cleveland Guardians have a leadoff hitter who's one of the more dangerous hitters in the sport, and Ramirez, who's a top six offensive player in the sport. And they have the best closer and arguably the best bullpen in the league. So yes, they dropped a pop-up. Yes, the Yankees have dominated them. Yes, the Yankees' bullpen has been every bit the equal of theirs. And has dominated here in the early postseason. And they've run through this thing and won, you know, five of the first six games they've played. You look at their numbers offensively, too. They've hit the crap out of the baseball. They're playing the Cleveland Guardians. They should be winning by 100 runs. They are literally Judge being Judge away from doing exactly that. If Judge were just his normal self, these games would all be blowouts. He's come up in the first inning with runners, with two runners on in the first inning and nobody out, four out of the six games. And he's made out every single time, including the error. You know, I mean, that other than that, he's done nothing in the first inning. Otherwise, these games would be blowouts. I am so sick of the narrative that the Yankees have done nothing. The Yankees have gotten on base better than every team in the postseason. The Yankees have hit the ball harder than every other team in the postseason. This this Yankee team, although not clicking on all cylinders, is playing winning baseball. And you know what great teams do? And we talk about it during the regular season when they stink. We talk about it when they lose games to bad teams and they play down to their competition and it's proof they can't win in the postseason. Well, what they're doing right now is winning despite not playing their best and winning comfortably. And I'm tired of the narrative that that speaks more to the Cleveland Guardians than it does the Yankees. It doesn't, because all we heard is they have two good hitters. The lineup sucks. Two good hitters. The bottom of the order is killing it. Verdugo is winning them games. Verdugo, the man left for dead, is killing it. Rizzo comes back, two broken fingers. The manager goes to him. He's hitting 300 and coming through in every big spot at the bottom of the order. Volpe is getting on base at a 450 clip here in the postseason. So much for the two-hitter narrative, because they're two games up in the ALCS, having lost one game in the postseason, with their best hitter doing nothing. And Yankee fans are supposed to walk around apologizing for it. And here's the other thing. What it leads to is a bunch of nonsense that the Yankees can't beat whoever they face in the World Series if they're lucky enough to get there, because let's be honest, they still have two wins to get. But if they get to the World Series, oh, it doesn't matter who they play. You know, the National League's just so much better. Give me a break. Is the National League better? Yes. It is. And you know what the Yankees are proving? They're better. And they belong with the big boys in this Major League Baseball season. So are they would they be the favorites to win the World Series? I have no idea. But the idea that either the Mets or the Dodgers, after they're done with the legitimate gauntlet that has been the National League postseason, that they'll just steamroll over all over the New York Yankees, you got another thing coming. Because this New York Yankee team is legit, and Judge hits a home run in his last at bat, and if he gets going, tell me where they're not good. Please. You want to match up with the Dodgers? Let's just say the Dodgers for an argument's sake. The Yankees don't have better starting pitching than the Dodgers? You bet your ass they do. Yankees don't have just as deep a lineup? Bet your ass they do. Yankees don't have a better bullpen? Bet your ass they do. But somehow they would just, you know, get steamrolled by the Dodgers or steamrolled by the Mets? It's such BS, man. The Yankee haters are out in full force, and even the Yankee self-doubters and self-loathers that have been are you know, multiplying like jackrabbits. I have no idea why we can't even get behind our own team. They're up two games to none, and all we talk about is, well, you know, I mean, listen, they run the bases like drunks, and, you know, they're not really very good, and Judge stinks, and they can't hit with run in scoring position. I'm inundated. Every time a run isn't scored in an inning, I'm inundated by Yankee fans who want to take the first opportunity to pounce all over this team and talk about how they're miserable when they're freaking on fire right now and can't lose a game in the postseason. It's driving me bonkers. I'm supposed to be enjoying this. It's crazy talk. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in South Bound Brook. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good, man. I'm excited for the Mets tonight. Hopefully they get the win, you know. Because I think, I don't know what the percentages are. Like, if you get a win tonight, now the losing team only has to win 3 out of 4, you know.
Right.
And the winning team, obviously, and it's simple math. You can check me
out. Of course,
it.
No, it is simple math. The winner of this game has an enormous advantage.
Right, yeah, you agree? You think so? I think so, definitely. It's a big game, right?
Of course. Yeah. Okay. It's a big game, Mike? Yeah, it's a big game. Of course it's a big game. Yes. Yes, this is a big game. Absolutely, this is a big game. This is the kind of game that shapes the series. I mean, no, the team who loses this game isn't dead. Someone's got to be up 2-1, right? I mean, somebody's got to take the advantage. It doesn't mean the other team is dead necessarily, but yeah, look at the numbers. The team who wins this game has an excellent chance, especially the Mets, who will be playing the next two games at home. If the Mets win this game, theoretically, what you're looking to do is split one of the next two, and you head out to L.A. needing one of the two games. Like, that's, yeah. Would you love to end it here in Citi Field? Of course. Of course you would, but if you get 2 out of 3 here, what you have to do is take 2 out of 3 and head to Los Angeles, back to L.A., only needing one game. And winning this game makes that a lot easier. This game is an enormous game. You might look back and call this the game of the series. There's no doubt. Ryan in Long Island. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's up, C-Mac? How you doing tonight,
man? What's up, buddy? How are you?
Pretty good. Just a big Yankees fan getting ready to watch the Mets play tonight. I am no Mets hater. I hope they win. I hope we have a Subway Series. It would be great to see. Mm-hmm. I'd like to have a little bit better odds of actually going to a game, even though it's $1,000 to get into Yankee Stadium.
I know. I was talking about it with Evan as he was leaving. The tickets are... Listen, it's going to be tough to get into the building, but it would be amazing. It would be amazing, but I don't want to get there. I mean, I hate doing that, man. We got to live a little bit more in the moment because right now the Yankees still have 2 games to get, and let's be honest, they haven't, forget who the opponent is, the Yankees haven't been to the World Series since 2009. That's 15 years ago.
Oh, you're 100%
there's
right.
There's a generation of kids who hardly remember it.
And I get you. I'm 39. Right. I remember growing up with the 90s Yankees winning a bunch, and I got treated to it, and I got shown the real world, you know, for like the last 20 years, you know, pretty much showing us that it's not always like that, you know. But what I wanted to get to real quick was, number one, C-Mac, I'm a big fan of you, bro.
Thank you, buddy. I really am.
I listen to you. I usually agree with most of what you're saying, but tonight, I got to disagree with you. I'm not a Yankees downer. I'm not. I try to be a realist, but the one thing I've been seeing them doing is that they've been winning games by not playing winning baseball. They don't get the hit with the men on base, but they do get a lot of men on base. So I think they get
a ton of men on base. You're talking about Judge and Wells being ice cold, and if it wasn't for that, they would be scoring a ton of runs. Other guys have come through, and I'm sorry, like I know. Oh, they score on wild pitches. Yeah, if those wild pitches happen with nobody on, it doesn't matter. You've got to put that pop up. If Gleyber Torres and Juan Soto don't have good at bats and hit scorching line drives for base hits, that drop pop up doesn't matter. The wild pitches matter if they don't work good at bats.
Of inches.
Yeah.
We've seen it before. It's a matter of one blue pit. You know, I mean, it could be anything, you know, and that's why we get men on base, right?
That's why
we don't strike out, and that's why we work the counts.
Right.
They do a great job of that. But that's the winning formula that we've been trying to have for years. But those 90s teams, someone got the base hit, and I'm not saying that they can't get it.
They've been winning games
by not winning them.
They're
not winning these games.
You can't win games without winning them, Ryan. You're talking in circles. They didn't do enough to win that game. They didn't put guys on base all the time. They didn't pitch out of jams. This bullpen and Clay Holmes isn't playing winning baseball. They didn't come through with the big hit. There wasn't an RBI double from Verdugo, that wasn't a 2-run home run to ice the game from Judge. What are we talking about? Walks matter, bro. They've had good at-bats. I'm tired of this narrative. Like, yeah, they haven't done what you... They got to win by 10 runs every game? Is that what you're talking about? You've got to come through with the big hits to win. They've come through with enough. They're winning. They've lost one game. They've played good defense. Besides the error from Volpe in the first game where he throws it into right field. Besides that, I mean, where's the big blunder defensively? They've been running down balls in the outfield like crazy. Judge has played a great series in center field. They've played well defensively. They ran into 2 outs in the base path trying to be over aggressive the other night. That's it. And they've scored enough runs to win. Like, I don't understand it. If we were having this conversation after losing games, sure, they're winning. They're not doing it like the 90s team. I mean, we talk like the 90s team never made blunders or didn't hit. It's not true. I still remember Chuck Knobloch staring at the umpire, chewing his bubble gum, pointing to first base and allowing the Indians to run the bases. I still remember a bunch of scoreless games. I still remember Tino Martinez needing that grand slam in 98 from doing nothing all series. Like, there's plenty of, you know, times where they've done nothing. And I'm not trying to knock the 90s teams. I grew up on them, but we make it sound like they came through in every big spot of all time ever. They won the games. That's the bottom line. We remember them winning. This team is winning. They're not getting tripped up at all. None of their mistakes or non-winning baseball, as you put it, has cost them an ounce. Jay in Miller Place. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how's it going, T-Mac? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Love the show. I just want to talk to you about the Yankees, diehard Yankee fan. Not hate the Mets. Watching them, my brother's a Mets fan, stuff like that. But just appreciate any thoughts on Aaron Boone. I mean, he hasn't made any mistakes yet. But
hasn't made any mistakes. Aaron Boone's been the best manager in this postseason, bar none. Aaron Boone has been the best manager in this postseason. Every single move he's made has been the right one, from who to start in the lineup. I mean, we start this postseason off, and the entire fan base sick to their stomach when they saw Verdugo in the lineup. He has been excellent for them. Now, has he rolled the ball over to second base more than we like? Has every at-bat been great? No. But he had an RBI double. He got the game-winning hit in game one. He's made every play in left field. He has absolutely been the right call over Jason Dominguez. You got first base. He has to juggle that situation in his first series against Kansas City. It worked out perfectly. They both played the field great. Birdie's unbelievable. First ever postseason start. First ever start at first base. How do you do that in a postseason series? The guy absolutely killed it. Gave them great at bats. They've won every game. Then he goes back to Rizzo at the fan base. How do you go to someone who with broken fingers? It's going to take him time to get timing. Birdie and Cabrera deserve this. Are you going back to Rizzo? Rizzo's been unbelievable. Then you get what he's done with the bullpen. Like, Clay Holmes is someone everybody wanted to never see again. Put him in the bathroom. Like, that's what that's how they wanted to treat him. Put him in the bathroom. Like, good for, like,
he gave up a ton of home runs. He was booted out of the closer. Yeah, totally agree. Don't disagree at all. You know, do you do anything with Wells, though? You know, not hitting and switch with Rizzo? Do you do anything in the future? You know, like, closer-wise, I agree. Luke Weaver, been lights out.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
The way he's operated the bullpen, you know, totally agree. But, you know, you look at some of the lineup things and, you know, hey, maybe there's a tweak here or there, you know? You could probably do to try to help, you know?
I mean, they're winning. I'm hesitant to tweak anything, and I expect Wells to come out of it. But I against the lefty coming up in Boyd in Game 3, I wouldn't be surprised if he either moves Wells out of the cleanup spot or even just puts in Trevino. Because here's the thing about Trevino. He's hit left-handed pitching, and as much as I don't want to look ahead, and I don't think they should necessarily, and I don't love making decisions based on that, if it is the Mets, they throw a ton of left-handed pitching, and it was a major problem for the Yankees in the Subway Series during the regular season. And if I could get some at-bats from Trevino to get him involved in this and then have an opportunity to go to him and feel at least like he's had some at-bats over the last 3 weeks. If I need to pull Wells, if they're not scoring runs and not winning games, at least I feel like that would be a viable option. And up 2-0 against Boyd seems like an opportunity to give Wells a day. But moving him out of the fourth spot is clearly up for grabs. Moving Stanton up to the cleanup spot, while it provides the protection you're looking for from Judge and obviously moves up and gets more at-bats in possibly a better situation for a guy who's been hot and having his typical postseason in Stanton. I do like the dynamic of the lefty-righty because it sets up for matchups in the bullpen, and that's the area of this Cleveland team. That's where they're at their best. Their best unit is their bullpen. So I'd rather not give them lanes to bring in a right-hander and face both Judge and Stanton back-to-back. I'd also like the idea of whatever they do, whether they go to Herron the lefty, like say they come up in a big spot, Soto coming up, two runners on, and they got to say, all right, well, we got a lefty, righty, lefty lane. We got Soto, Judge, and then either Rizzo, Wells, whoever they put there. And they go, oh, well, let's throw out Herron here because I got two lefties out of the next three with the three batter minimum. Well, now I know I'm getting Judge and at bat against the left-handed pitcher. Or vice versa. I know I'm getting Stanton, for example, a bat against the left-handed pitcher, or I'm getting Soto and at bat against the right-handed pitcher if it's the top of the order, and they say, well, I got Glaber and I got Judge in these next three hitters. Let me go with my right-hander. Now I know I'm getting Soto and at bat against the right-handed pitcher. Like, I do like that. And putting those together not only put up the two right-handers in Judge and Stanton, but then what does the bottom of the order look like? Do I have to have Chisholm and Wells, who are arguably the coldest hitters on the team, back to back? Do I throw Volpe in the middle of there? Like, then the bottom of the order, which has been a strength for this team, gets really weak. If I bump Rizzo up and put Wells back there, Rizzo's been really doing well at the bottom of the order and making this lineup a little bit more circular. I understand the idea of putting all your best hitters at the top, but if you have cold hitters, all three of them lined up at the bottom, you're giving an inning away, and you're limiting the opportunity to have base runners on for the top of the order. So I think it's a tough question, but I think Boone has handled things perfectly. Like, we went into this postseason thinking Aaron Boone was going to have a big role in this, and that because of how many bench guys they started the first series with, and, you know, the opportunity to pinch it, and they really haven't done any of it, but you've got guys like Cabrera on the bench, you got guys like Dominguez on the bench, you had guys, you know, Birdie, these guys who are viable options, and so many guys at the bottom of the order, whether it's Rizzo with broken fingers or obviously, you know, Wells slumping, and Verdugo and what he is offensively all season long, opportunity to pinch hit guys, and the bullpen mixing matching without a quote-unquote closer, although Weaver has become that. Like, his hands were going to be all over this series. And so far, he has done a masterful job. Aaron Boone is the best manager in this postseason, bar none. Every move he's made has been the right one, and he's turned around this bullpen. Like, and Brian Cashman deserves credit, too. I know nobody wants to hear it, but what the hell? I'll give you my Yankee shill take of the day right here off the gate. Like, Brian Cashman, who did nothing at the trade deadline, not enough to help this bullpen that was really struggling at the time. He traded for Leiter, who's not good enough to make the postseason roster, and De Los Santos, who got designated for assignment. Not a good enough job. But if you look at what this bullpen is, you got Tim Hill yesterday getting the most important outs of the game. Five outs. He wasn't good enough to play on the White Sox, and the Yankees found him and worked on him and turned him into someone you could pitch in the middle of an ALCS and get you big outs. Weaver was arguably one of the worst starting pitchers in all of baseball for 3, 4, 5 years. He's dominant, closing games, multiple outs. I don't even know who Jake Cousins was prior to this year. Who the hell is he? Ian Hamilton was somebody nobody heard of 2 years ago. And Clay Holmes was a guy pitching to a 4.5 ERA in Pittsburgh and has come here and has yet to give up a run in the postseason and has been brought into every big spot in this series, pitched in every single game, first guy out of the bullpen when he comes in with guys on base, the tying run at third base with the runner-up MVP up. Like, every single spot, Clay Holmes, who was abandoned from the fan base wanted to run him out, they stuck with him, they kept pitching him, and now he's a freaking force. Aaron Boone, Brian Cashman. You want to talk about the Guardians? You want to talk about the Royals? You want to talk about why the Yankees are here? Let's talk about the bottom of the lineup. Let's talk about the guys none of us wanted to play. And let's talk about Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman, who have massaged this thing into a roster that's lost one freaking game. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls right after this on The Fan. All right, 7:56. McMonagle filling in for Keith McPherson. Got you till midnight. We got the update coming up. I'm going to get back to your calls on the other side. Hang with me, guys. I see you on the line. But I just, at the end of that little rant there, I do just think that it's frustrating to me as the Yankee shill. I got to be totally honest with you. Because the Yankees are two wins away from getting back to the World Series in 2009, something that so many Yankee fans told me would never happen with Aaron Boone, would never happen again with Brian Cashman. He was lucky to get the core four, and it's embarrassment. They spend all this money, and they can't build the best team in the American League after all this time. And now they've built the best team in the American League, and it's still not good enough. They're not winning by enough. They're not winning in the way you want them to win. They're doing things that still, you know, resemble some of the failings of the teams of the past. And so it's not good enough. And it's annoying me. Because, listen, I came on at 2 a.m. You would have to be blind to not admit they caught a break in the first inning. You'd have to be blind to not admit that they made dumb decisions on the base path. No one is saying that they're perfect. This is the ALCS. I don't apologize for wins. I don't apologize for wins. So it's annoying when you look at this team and they have built the best team in the American League, bar none. And they have a bullpen built out of thin air that's dominating the postseason. And don't give me, the teams aren't any good. Oh, please, please. You got the Royals scored runs. The Royals had the runner-up in the MVP. They completely shut down Bobby Witt Jr. Salvador Perez is a World Series MVP. their first baseman and three hitter had 100 RBIs and he was out for a month. Pasquantino was out for a month. He had 100 RBIs. They completely shut down that lineup. Ramirez is one of the better hitters in the sport. They've been leading that division from, you know, wire to wire. Got to turn off my phone. I'm getting a million texts. Shut up. Don't you know I'm busy? They don't get it, Rich. They don't get it.
Your fan base.
That's not
and
my,
they keep
me,
on coming.
It's not my fan base.
Your family?
Yeah.
They're your fan base, too.
They're kind of my fan base. It's more, you know, I'm probably, you know, where'd you do this? How come we couldn't find that? You left your underwear next to the bed. I know. Sorry. 888-808-1019. It's just, it bothers me that they're two wins away and we have to apologize for their play. It's such BS. And that they're going to get rolled in the World Series. We'll see. Maybe they will. But they're about to go to the World Series since the first time since 09. And the flowers belong to the manager and the GM. And for those who have a real problem with that, and for those who, you know, that sticks in their craw too freaking bad. 888-808-1019. We'll come right back with your phone calls here on The Fan.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.